Welcome to episode 95 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. This week's show is a direct follow-up to the last, relating to the conference I recently photographed for one of my corporate clients. Now, in the previous episode, I told you about the technical considerations of that commission. This time, my thoughts turned to preparing the resulting prints ready to be sent to the client. A couple of listeners have also asked questions about the process, and so I'm going to be adding those into the mix too. So, here we go then. Welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 95. So, yes, this is the next stage in the process, completing the job for one of my corporate clients. Those of you that listened to last week's show, which was episode 94, entitled Putting My Honeymoon on Hold, will know that, yes, I did recently get married, and yes, I did have to take about a day or so out from the honeymoon in order to go and undertake a commission. I am still married, so it clearly wasn't that big a deal, and my wife is very understanding, so it all worked out rather well. So, just to give you a bit of background information for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about. One of my clients up in London was having a conference, and they wanted, as they do every year, both the shots of key speakers delivering to the delegates in the room there, talking about the topic that surrounds their industry. But also they have a guest speaker, and this year it was Rudy Giuliani, who many of you will know his name as being the former mayor of New York. So he obviously gave his keynote speech and what have you, but part of the arrangement, as every year, is that I do the speakers in action, as it were, photograph them, and also do some posed portraits with of delegates with the keynote speaker. So in this sense, it was these various people stood there with Mr. Giuliani. Quick photograph and all the details about the technical and the restrictions and the considerations were in last week's show, so I won't dwell on that. But for that part of the commission, what I always do is supply prints in presentation folders, one for each of the delegates who has been pictured in a photograph. So on this occasion, I think it was originally it was going to be 40 people that would require prints, then it was 50, and then actually in the event it was so popular that it went up to 73. So I just adjusted a few things and what have you. What I have in front of me here, I say this is the next step. It should be the next step and the completion of this, but there has been a slight delay in proceedings. I'll explain in a moment. The pictures obviously have been edited and prepared. The disc obviously of those is ready to be sent off and what have you. But I was just waiting for the prints and the folders to come back. I always, obviously the prints only get ordered once I've produced the images, but the presentation folders, I only order those after the event once I know for sure how many I'm going to need, because as you can appreciate, you have to factor in costs and this, that and the other, and there's sort of timelines and what have you. Those folders, because of the courier service that the has been used and my availability and getting the delivery handed over and what have you, that those have been delayed slightly by a few days. But no matter, because I'm still within time, still on schedule. So what I thought I'd do now is just have a look at the prints, which I always do. So what I've got in front of me here is the cardboard packaging that they come in. Just open this up. And I haven't looked at these yet, so this should be quite interesting. So what we've got is, let me just pop the packaging to one side. I've got two packets of 10x8 inch prints here. That was the size that the client wanted, and I'm going to touch on Something that came up in conversation on Twitter and what have you. Mark, you will know who you are. You were asking me about print labs and so forth. And Matt, you will know who you are. You're asking what lab I use. So what I'm going to do is just sort of do like a quality control looking through these, and then I'll explain a bit more as I go along. So there's no real order to these, that the pictures are in a numerical order, but for the sake of checking these through, I don't have to worry too much. Just going to remove, they've got a little sticker which seals the pack. I'm just going to put those on both of these. I'm just going to put them to one side so they don't actually, in sliding the prints out of the clear packaging here, they don't accidentally stick to the prints, which wouldn't be too clever. A lot of you will know I don't do a lot of print work these days. I used to shoot a lot of events and supply a lot of prints, but actually that's not my area now. I don't do a lot of. But for those occasions where I do, and I'm just taking these out, these are glossy prints. Those occasions where I do need a print, I use a lab called One Vision Imaging. And One Vision are, obviously they're based here in the UK, and they are up in Coventry. And they're very, very good. Whilst I'm on the topic of materials, the company that I use for the sleeves, these prints, each of them are going to be put in a nice presentation sleeve. They're, just got their brochure in front of me, just I thought I'd be prepared so I can give you the information. It's what they call slip-in photo folders. And I'm going for a black strut mount with a silver border, which is really nice, quite simple, quite plain, but it's nice and smart. And black is a really nice complementary colour as a frame. If I was to use brown, yes, they're nice, but they're not really suitable for these pictures. So basically, I've ordered a bunch of these, and they will be coming in they will be coming in the next day or so, I hope. Those come from a company called Kenro, who are based in Swindon in Wiltshire. There are many, many print labs in this country. There are also a good number of albums, frames, mounts, suppliers, both locally and nationally. It just comes down to finding suppliers that you're happy with. Now, I've used Kenro for many years. I always use them for this particular job that I do every year, because for a number of reasons. A, I know the quality and I'm happy with it. B, the client has now got used to that quality, and so year after year I want to make sure that they're not disappointed. They're going to get the same quality of results. So I'll put that to one side. Oh, and those mounts, you order them either in what they call upright or view. So whether you have vertical prints or whether you have horizontal prints, you choose what you want. And I've got horizontal prints, two people stood there and what have you. So put those to one side. As I go through these, I'm just going to talk a little bit, just addressing what Mark was asking, was about the process of using a print lab and who you choose. Now, I've already said that, you know, you go with quality and who you're happy with. I'm just going to talk a bit as I go through, because there's really nothing I can talk about in great length as I go through these prints. All I'm doing is just checking to make sure that I'm happy with the sharpness and the colour and this, that and the other. So there are basically three reasons why I use the lab that I do, and it comes down to, essentially, it comes down to workflow as well as quality. So the first thing is I really like actually the ordering process that One Vision offers. It's an online process. You basically select the folder that you have your pictures in on your computer, and you basically drag you select that folder and tell the online software that's where the pictures are, and it loads up all the thumbnails of all the pictures. And if you are doing all the same thing, so for example, these are all 10x8 and they're all horizontal, they're all landscape format, then you can just literally, rather than dragging one image at a time across to the template that they have set up there for 10x8, you can just drag the whole lot across, and it recognizes, and it gives you the option. It says, do you want all of these pictures to be at this size and this finish and what have you? And you say yes. So that's one of the things that I love about the One Vision system. It's what they call the ROES system, ROES. And as I say, I will put a link to their various things in the show notes. Just as a side note, looking at these pictures, really happy with them. I always am. My preference is, really, if I was to get prints made for myself, they wouldn't be gloss. There are a number of reasons. One, gloss prints show your finger marks quite nicely. Always worth either using gloves or making sure your hands are washed before you start handling prints like this. What was I saying? The online process, use that. That's really good. I forget what I was going to say now. Let me just skip on. The next thing to bear in mind is, it's all very well having a nice, smooth online ordering system, but of course you have to be sure that what you are going to get in the final print is what you want. So one of the big issues is that of colour fidelity. Now, I know I've mentioned it in the past, some of you may or may not know, but I have a very slight colour blindness, which is not ideal for a photographer when you're working with colour and what have you. It affects the kind of the red and green channels of my perception, and I'm not a medical person, but I gather someone once told me that it's one in... I know someone will correct me on this, I'm sure. One in three, one in five men have this slight colour blindness. It's never actually really... I mean, I've never had any negative feedback from my clients about colour. So clearly, you know, my perception and the way I get around it seems to work. But one thing I do when I'm dealing with prints through One Vision is... They have a various options. When you come to order, you have options for obviously the size and the quantity and what finish, whether you want luster, like a semi-matte, or a gloss finish. You can have all sorts of like bordering options on the pictures, and you can have... I can't think. There's so many options. Really, really, really good range there. But one of the things they do offer is a colour correction service. Now, when I prepare the pictures on the computer, obviously my monitor is calibrated, so I know that white is white, black is black, and what have you. And I always have a reference card, which, because of my workflow and the way my cameras are set up and the way that I know how I view the images and process them, I know that I'm going to get the colours right. But just to make absolutely sure, I get the colour correction. I check that box, which means that actually, even if I was slightly off, the final results are going to be spot on. So when I'm looking at these, just purely by coincidence, I've got a picture here of Mr. Giuliani stood on the right as we look at them, and the gentleman on the left, I assume, is probably from an Indian background, I think, or so I don't wish to generalize. I must admit I'm not very good at telling where anyone from a great many nations comes from, but suffice to say his skin is darker. So there's a real sort of range of colours and tones going on here. You've got Mr. Giuliani, who's a very sort of Caucasian, white, sort of neutral skin. He's got a white shirt on, blue pinstripe jacket. This other gentleman with his darker skin, he has like a light blue shirt, a black jacket, and a sort of a reddish tie. So all these things, I can look at them and I know, actually, I wasn't far off at all. They are as I pictured them and what have you. The background is also the same in all of these pictures. So listen to last week's show, you'll hear about that. So yeah, it's all really good. So at this stage, when you know you've just got the pictures back from the lab and time is ticking, there really is no margin for error. So for me to be able to select that option to have my prints color corrected, or you know, sort of analyze and make sure they're right, that is perfect for me. The other thing is that I like is postage options. Now, let's not put too fine a point on it. When you are trying to run any business and you have to think about what you're charging and your profit margins and all this sort of thing, if you think, oh, okay, I'm going to get the fastest service or a courier service or whatever it might be, if you're going to go for those premium services, they are going to cost money. Now, there is an insurance on all these prints that come through the post, of course, but there is no point me spending over the odds on carriage charges when I have factored in enough time for the prints to come through just on a regular post. So as I've probably mentioned before, the process with One Vision that I use tends to be, all said and done, it's within 5 days thereabouts from ordering to supply, which would be something like a 2 to 3 day or 2 to 3 business day Royal Mail delivery service. I'm just putting this other this first set to one side. Those are all checked off, they're nice. So that those are the three things. To recap then, the online, the ease of ordering is really important to me. The postage options, as I've just said, are important. If I do know that if I need to get a picture for tomorrow and it's urgent, then yes, I can pay a bit more. If it's out of my own pocket, fair enough. If it's something that the client has requested, and they're happy to cover the cost, the bill of it, well then that's fine. At the end of the day, if I'm sort of if I'm paying for the premium service and there's no need, well then that's not good business sense, because it's cutting into my profits. And then of course the third thing, goes without saying, is the print quality, and that takes into account all these things like color correction, just the vibrancy of the pictures, how sharp they are, because bear in mind my pictures may be lovely and sharp, but if their machines are not properly calibrated, they might end up coming out a little bit soft. So so that's kind of that's the main things with that. I mean, I can go into more detail if you want. Mark, I know this, you'll recognize that this is your question, as it were. I don't give out surnames on the show. I think it's nice just to let people have a bit of you know, sort of, they don't, it's one of those things. I'm quite a personal person. I don't put everything about my life on the internet, and I don't assume that everyone else likes to you know, have even their surnames put out there sometimes. Maybe I'm being a bit overprotective of them, I don't know. But Mark, you will know who you are, and hopefully that has answered a few questions for you. And I can always go into more depth in the future, more specific topics surrounding prints and labs and what have you. Yeah, so I've got this other stack of prints here, and one thing I will just say is, it's kind of goes without saying, but at the same time it has to be said, if that makes sense. With such a quantity of people coming through the door and appearing in front of the camera to have their picture taken, working with my client, they're saying, you know, please can you make sure that you supply the pictures in order, because we've made a note of the people and we don't necessarily know exactly who they are, and we, you know, need to make sure it's in order. For me, that's kind of a no-brainer, it goes without saying. But one thing that, it's funny, I've found this with different labs in the past, you can name a file and say, let's say for argument's sake, it was a prefix of ABC, then dash, and a sequential number of 123 or 1234 and so forth. So in the past, I have had, for example, print number ABC-14. And when you get the print back, because of the registration of the machine, the print and the picture may be lovely, but the number, part of the file number, has been removed, or it has not been printed on the back of the print properly. One of the things I like about OneVision here is that when you look at the information they print on the back of the print here, it's got an order number, and it's got a code number, it's got the date, it's also got the file, which has got the full length of the file name that I gave it, along with some sort of reference for them for the batch and what have you. So if I did complain, not that I would with this, but if I really wasn't happy with these pictures and I said, look, I think the colours are off, even though you're supposed to colour correct it and what have you, they could then trace it back and find out what the problem was. Like I say, I am more than happy with these prints. I have no reason to question them. The colours are vibrant. I mean, this gentleman that's in front of me here, Mr. Giuliani's tie was quite quite striking in itself. It was sort of red and, I think it's red and pink, you know, it's kind of quite punchy. But this chap next to him had this kind of cobalt blue kind of tie, really striking. But then you look at that, and if I was to take that in isolation and think, oh, that's a bit bright, is it something that I've done with my colours or what have you? You know me, I don't do huge amounts of Photoshop, I don't do a lot of, you know, messing around with colours and contrast and saturation. When I look at the rest of it, the other tones are all neutral, the skin tones are right, and then I know that the tie is absolutely spot on as well. So that's really nice. But it's always worth bearing in mind, you know, if you're trying out a new lab, and I've used a few over the years, and I'm a creature of habit, I tend to stick to the same ones. Once I'm happy, I'll stick to it, and then I know where I stand. Maybe just send a test print or a set of test images with a range of different sort of content. So, for example, it depends what you're doing. If you're shooting lots of portraits, then you want to get a range of people and skin tones. If you shoot landscapes, make sure that you got some good greenery in there to check that the greens look nice and punchy and what have you. There are so many factors that go into the process. It's worth doing just a few tests. Some labs in the past, I know, have offered the service whereby, presumably to gain new business, they'll say, well, send us one file, we'll do you a free, I don't know, 10x8 or 10x12 or 9x6 or whatever it is, because we want you to see the quality of our pictures, and they are that satisfied with the quality of their work that they will offer you a free of charge test. Well worth doing. So I'm just coming to the end of this second batch of pictures, and I can see that all the pictures are in sequence. So I've got, as I look here, we've got the prefix, and we've got this is number 16, and then the one turning over is number 17. So I can see that they're going up and up and up. This is one of those things that when I have the folders with me, and they're really, you know, it's a very simple process just to slot them in. What I will do is I'll have the table in front of me, and I will check the numbers, and as I go through, I will absolutely double check that they are all in sequence, so that when my client opens them, they know all they have to do is just not drop them on the floor and mess the order up. But all they have to do is just simply go through them, and they will see the order, the sequence. If they did drop the pictures all over the floor and make a complete hash of them, that's no problem. They could just take the prints out. It's a bit of a pain having to do it, but they could just take the prints out and just double check and everything would still be in sequence. So the last couple of prints here, that takes me up to 01. So that was the 01, right? So let me just see, this is where it's important just to double check. So what I'm noticing there is that I need to be absolutely sure that the prints are in the correct order, because sometimes they come out, they come from the lab and they're not in absolute perfect order. I have no problem with that. I have no issue with that. There's no drama. At the end of the day, it's my job to make sure that I'm happy with that everything that I have ordered is there. So let me just put these away and I'll just think if there's any last minute thoughts that I've got about this process. It might be someone soon. I know a while ago, some of you remember I did a live video chat and that was really good. We had about three or four topics to discuss, and it was a two-way thing, and I really like that because I know this is a one-way process, the podcast recordings. So maybe this would be something that I put out there, and you can let me know what you would like to talk about in advance. My plan, I did a trial for it, and my plan actually was that maybe once a week I would do that, but other things had to get in the way, and that didn't quite happen. I haven't ruled it out. I just haven't got the time, or up to this point, haven't had the time to do that and make it stick, as it were. So, let me just think. Is there anything else? I think that's just about it, you know? So, the next stage of this process, just to absolutely round it off, will be when the delivery comes with those folders. I will put the prints in there. They will be packaged up along with the disc of images. They will be sent out via, I use a special delivery, which is guaranteed delivery by, I think there's various ones, but I think it's guaranteed by midday or 1 p.m. the following day. That will be sent out, and that'll all be done. The invoice will be with them, of course. That's why we do it, is to get the invoices in. And that's it. That's another good job done for this year. It happens once a year. And I just like the thought that all the delegates are enjoying their pictures. And it's, you know, I like the process. I think I may have mentioned this before. As I say, I don't do a lot of print supply work now, but when I do, I really enjoy the process of talking with my suppliers, ordering things in. I like the process of working out the costs and putting a product, seeing a product coming together and then being dispatched. You know, when I was younger, I always liked the idea of running a shop purely from the standpoint that you know, you would buy this item in at X amount and you would mark it up X amount and that's what you sold it for, and then that was your profit margin. But then you took into account things like you know, electricity and overheads and what have you, and then you found out what you were making and how, and that's what I really liked, was that process. But as a photographer, of course, most of what I do is supplied either online or on a disc, and I don't often get to see the results in print, as it were. Sometimes I do. Some clients are really good. They'll keep me in the loop, or I will just, if it's for a magazine, I'll be able to go into the shop and see the magazine on the newsstands, which I always love. But so much of my work, I just supply it, and for one reason or another, I know that it gets used and people tell me that they're using it, and I can see, I talk to people that say, oh yeah, I saw your pictures that you shot for so-and-so the other day, really nice, and you know, it's really good to see that they're happy with them and what have you. But in a lot of the time, I actually don't get to see my pictures other than in a digital format. Whether I will in the future do more print work, I don't know. I mean, it is very tempting to start thinking about making limited edition prints of things. I dare say there probably would be a bit of a market for some of my work for that. But, you know, I don't know. It's a bit like with stock photography. I don't supply any pictures to a stock library, but I have thousands of pictures on file, which probably could be making me money if I did but submit them. Who knows? The future is a wonderful thing. It's full of promise, and maybe one day I'll do more prints, and maybe one day I'll start supplying stock to libraries. But there we go. That is the end of this process. And yeah, I really look forward to boxing it all up, getting it sent off, and yeah, another year is finished for that particular client, and we'll look forward to next year. I want to round off this episode with a request. With only 5 more shows to go now until we reach the big 100, I need your input. Quite simply, I want to know what you'd like to hear on that landmark show. Now, whether it's something technical or artistic maybe, recorded on location or featuring an interview, it needs to be something just a bit special, and I'm completely open to ideas. So, please get your thinking caps on and let me know what you'd like the show to be centred around. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or of course, send me a good old fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.
Member of the CurrentPhotographer.com podcast network. Find more great photography shows at CurrentPhotographer.com/podcast.